News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
On the idea of neutrality, I mean, you've obviously been closer to this than myself and Shane have been. Is Ireland really a neutral country in the eyes of the rest of the world?
Ireland is military neutral because we're not committed to a mutual defence pact as members of NATO are. But we're not at all politically neutral. And the government has been moving forward. For example, we have been giving our share of European Union support to Ukraine. And while we have channeled that support through non-lethal funds, we have given what our share would have been of the military support that the European Union has given. And the Taoiseach has been talking recently about the importance of taking these things more seriously, which is overdue. And he's also made clear that we will support our European partners who are members of NATO in taking whatever decisions they need to take, because we're living in a real world. And the decisions about Ireland's future are not being taken in our domestic debate about neutrality, however sensitive and important that is. The decisions are being taken in Brussels, where we're sitting around the table and trying to engage more seriously on these issues than in the past. And they're being taken in Paris, where we weren't present. So, you know, I think we have to address the issue more seriously, as you were saying a moment ago. But it's a difficult issue for the government, because if the government were to call into question our military neutrality, the whole debate would explode domestically. So their choice is between launching that as a debate, which they judge is not opportune at the moment, or making practical progress in various ways that I've described.
Well, let's talk about the dichotomy that now exists. We had European leaders meeting in Paris, talking about Ukraine. At the same time, then, you have the Americans who have gone on a solo run and are speaking to Russia about Ukraine and Europe without Ukraine and Europe being in the room. I mean, should we have expected anything other than Trump to sideline Europe at this point?
Well, I think there are differences of view within the US administration. You know, the special envoy on Ukraine from the US, Keith Kellogg, seems to be a bit more sensible than others. He's made clear explicitly that there will be no peace deal imposed on Ukraine, and he's described it as a sovereign nation, and he's going to visit Ukraine the day after tomorrow. So there are ongoing debates, and of course the US is uniquely unpredictable at the moment. Trump is not guided by any identifiable principles or even a rational assessment of US interests. But at the same time, the developments are deeply worrying, because he's conceded, far from being a master of the art of the deal, he's conceded major points to Moscow even in advance of today's discussion, and has given up significant leverage. So Europe has to be anxious. And I think it's quite timely that President Macron called a meeting of eight European countries with the European Commission and indeed NATO yesterday. There's still a lot to play for. We shouldn't be wildly pessimistic, because there will be no deal without Zelensky's agreement. And that's not just because Trump says so, and he has said so, but because that's the nature of the world after losing so many.
If he goes out, if Trump says, I've done a deal with Putin without Ukraine, and then what happens next? Because, you know, the US will say, well, we did a deal, you didn't sign up to it. So what side do they end up on in that scenario?
I'm very concerned about what's happening, but let's not be, you know, totally panicking and pessimistic. I mean, Trump himself has said that Ukraine will take part in the negotiations. He just simply hasn't said how and when. And ultimately, he does need Europe, because if a deal acceptable to Ukraine can be produced out of these talks, then he will need the support of Europe, because he says that Europe needs to provide the security guarantees. Trump also ultimately needs the support of Congress in the United States. And while all of the Republicans, bar I think one, have been utterly pusillanimous in defense of U.S. democracy in recent times, some of them are very concerned about U.S. interests and U.S. values. So there is still quite a lot to play for. And I think the fact that Europe is belatedly getting its act together more, including through the meeting in Paris, is significant. After all, the U.K. was there. It's only a few years since Brexit. And the U.K. and the European Union realized that since there's an existential threat to us all, they have to work together. And Europe has been giving more aid than the US to Ukraine, if you take both military and economic aid into account. But it has to clearly step up on the military side. And there will need to be a US backstop. There will have need to be some US involvement in defending Ukraine, because we know that Russia won't stop by taking over the provinces that it's claiming a right to. Well, it will want to go further, not just in Ukraine, but beyond that. So we do need some sort of US backstop.
But is the appetite there in the US for that? And the question is, right now it's very Chamberlain like. Short of Trump having a piece of paper in his hand, I'm not sure whether the parallel could be any more stark.
It is Chamberlain like. It does appear to be Chamberlain like, and that's why Europe has to make serious advances itself. I mean, Europe doesn't usually make big advances because of institutional tinkering. It does so when there is a real threat. And it did so in relation to COVID. It did so when one of its most valued and important partners suddenly upped and left the European Union. And there is no greater pressure of events than the threats to European security and the type of democracies that we have and the type of societies we want to bring our children up in than the threat coming from Russia. So we have to, because the US is unpredictable, we need to act ourselves in Europe. But having said that, you know, the US, we don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Trump suddenly announces that he's going to take over Gaza, but it's not going to happen. There's a real world out there. There are other interests. And I think there is an ongoing debate in the US, as I say, not just in government with his own special envoy taking apparently a more constructive approach, but also in US Congress. So let's do two things. Let's get our act together in Europe insofar as we can, but also let's try to work insofar as Trump allows us to do with the United States. And there's other countries too. There's Canada as well. We talk about Europe, but one of the US's most important allies and friends and closest neighbor, Canada, is absolutely online with Europe and all of these things.
Okay. The 51st state, as I've been referred to by the US president, but a good bit away from that as well. We'll leave it there for now. Bobby, thank you very much for joining us. Former ambassador to the UK and the EU, Bobby McDonough.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.